Thanks for tuning in to Urban Conversation. This is your host, Ligelle Marie, and I'm joined by my co-host, Manuel Hill. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Good, 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 good. I'm doing pretty good. I had to laugh because I hate blogs. Talk radio, like, I hate the system. They have so many issues every single time we get on here. And right before we got patched in, I get these notices like popping up telling me that I have to re-upload all of my audio files, you know, all the little sound bites.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, really? Like, I'm gonna do that. I have like literally like 1 minute before, but it looks like they're all up, so I don't know. Anyway, it's been a crazy week. How has your week been?
Not bad. Relaxed for the most part. I did not do anything worth discussing. Like, really, really didn't. I had a fat moment yesterday. I went to the store and bought, bought me some crab legs and potatoes and stuff.
Ew,
and made me
potatoes,
a nice...
all that starch, yuck.
No, but every now and then I got to get it in, did my little crab boil, sit down in front of the TV and watched a few documentaries and just didn't do too much of anything.
Well, everything in moderation is good, so you're good on that. You definitely shouldn't be eating potatoes every night, but...
Oh, I couldn't do that. No, I can't do that.
Every once in a while. So, yeah, well, that's good. I didn't have any fat moments this week. I've had a lot of stuff going on, but nothing in relation to food. If anything, I didn't get enough meals in, but I'm still trying to work on that. So just for our listeners, let me turn this down, and hopefully there are no issues with me going in and out. If you guys do catch that, let me know. Don't wait until we're like 15 minutes from ending the show and tell me, yeah, that's been happening the whole hour. So let me know if I'm going in and out. Also, I was asked if I could make sure that I let you guys know which Facebook page I'm logged on to during the show. We have my Urban Conversation page, which is really just to kind of post in our open forum page. It's an admin page. But my main page, which is Ligelle Marie, is the one that you can talk to me on during the show. So I was asked to make sure that I let you guys know, because some of you inbox me in the Urban Conversation page and I don't get your messages until afterwards. So log on and find me, Ligelle Marie, and then inbox me there and I will get to your questions. You can also chat with me on Blog Talk Radio. So if you want to do that, I'll see that pop up right in the little studio section, so I can see that. And I think that's it. I had quite a few messages and some crazy little comments that I'm going to address in a minute, because some of you guys are... Yeah, you already know, Manuel. Some of you guys are just, you don't know me. So as you get to know me more... You'll know that, yeah. But I'm gonna get into some of the stuff that was commented on, a couple of inbox messages, and I love that a few of you guys inboxed me before the show and say, hey, you're gonna be listening in. So that's really, really cool, because sometimes with everything that's going on, I might be like, maybe not tonight, but I'm really glad that you guys talk back and let me know that you actually are tuning in, so that's really, really cool. So anyway, Manuel, before we go any further, this case, I don't know, and I know you heard about it, it really bothered me for a few different reasons. But of course, you know about the two journalists in Virginia that were shot and killed, right?
Right.
You've seen that.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Allison Parker, who was just 24 years old, and Adam Ward, who was 27 years old, they were shot and killed. And this, what made this even, I don't know, what made it more heartbreaking is because it was caught live. And so you guys, if you have been paying attention, of course, you've seen a lot of the video. There's three vantage points that they've kind of circulated. One was of the cameraman, Adam Ward, who was killed, died right there on the spot, as well as Allison. And then the other vantage point was from the actual shooter, which was Vester Lee Flanagan. What a name, right? Vester Lee Flanagan. His dad is like...
Vester Lee...
Right, his dad, was his dad a pro football player or something? His dad was something, like something, he played pro sports or something. I'm going to look that up, and hopefully I'll give you guys the answer. And if you have the answer to that, you can post it on our open forum page and let me know. But I believe I know that the dad was somewhat of a big deal because this guy, Vester, a.k.a. Bryce Williams, he wanted to be, I believe Vester Lee might have been his father's name, and he changed the name because he didn't want to live under the shadow of his dad. He was a 41-year-old black guy, as you guys know, disgruntled former journalist, walked up on these people doing an interview and opened fire. It's not funny. It's just people are crazy. So did you see the video from his vantage point where he just literally walked up and he's got the gun pointed and they're not even paying him any attention? Did you see that
right,
one?
Right. Yeah, I saw that. And the part about that that's so disturbing because, and you probably know this, when people are on camera and when they're, you know, especially reporters, but you know, with what you do with your, you know, your stage work and whatnot, when people are doing what they're doing, they're not aware of their surroundings. They're in a moment. So
yeah,
those people, like, it's almost like walking up onto somebody who's, like, in a booth, blind to what's going on, and somebody opening fire in that booth. I mean, it's so cowardly, you know. I mean, we talk about people being sucker punched. You know, I'm sure you've heard the term sucker punch, when you just snuck and you had no chance to even see what was coming. And a lot of people, you know, they need to be aware of their surroundings. I heard some people say, you know, hey, you're always supposed to be aware of your surroundings. But when it comes to that type of work, they get immersed in the moment and they're not as aware of their surroundings and stuff like that can happen. And I'm sure him being a former journalist, he knew that. He knew exactly what he was doing. That just makes it that much more malicious. So it's terrible.
Yeah, and and your mind tells you that, but when you see it, you're just like, how do you not see them? You know, how did you not see
you can't,
him?
You can't.
Yeah, because it was so disturbing. This guy talked about it on his Facebook page, on his Twitter. You know, he's like, yeah, I got a videotape of it. He's like really... This dude was really messed up. And then they had some pictures, of course, circulated of him in this, I don't know what this outfit was, and I refused to post it in our forum page because I don't even want to give any, it was just crazy. It was like a sheer kind of get up. Because he come to find out, he was, you know, he's a gay man, and he, you know, he claims that, you know, he suffered racism and also, you know, homophobia and just a lot of different things. And of course, as everybody knows, he's dead. He shot himself, killed himself. So, so three lives gone. And, you know, a lot of speculation, a lot of conspiracy theories that are popping up. You know, people are really dissecting these videos that are circulating. Because I think, I don't know, for me, I just think looking at it is so, so shocking that it just, like I said, just logically, it just doesn't make sense. It's so...
Right.
So heartbreaking, but rest in peace to those two. They were very young too, 24 years old she was, and he was 27. So not and 24, just that really, really hit me. That's just what a waste.
It's
anyway,
just too young. It's just too young.
Yeah, and to you know, just to leave, to be taken, I should say. She didn't leave, to be taken out like that. Yeah, he was a coward. He was definitely a coward to do that. A punk, whatever you want to call it. He was all of those things, and yikes. So, yeah, so that's what's happening. There was another story that I was thinking of, and I guess it must not have stuck with me that much because I totally forgot it. So, whatever. So some of the stories that, you know, I read, they just become so redundant. They're so tragically redundant that to discuss them it's almost like you're talking about the same thing. A lot of, you know, I get a lot of the underground, you know what I mean? Get a lot of the underground stories that are not circulated in your, you know, your nightly news broadcast, which is where you should get your news, underground. Get the stories that they're not broadcasting.
Absolutely. I don't know. It's funny that you mentioned that because have you seen that movie, Nightcrawler? Have you ever had a chance to see that?
Nightcrawler, no. What is that?
Jake Gyllenhaal. He's a nighttime. Well, he's basically
guy. Yes. He's basically putting himself in these positions to catch the news. Crazy movie that was.
It was really good because it does give you. And the one thing that I like to urge people to pay attention to is. And you know this. I know you know this. Fiction is often nothing but dressed up fact. You know, we spin story around it, but these are real life situations. These people know things. So when this stuff is written, it captivates us because it's real. And one of the things is two of the things that I wanted to bring up based on the story that you mentioned. And one, you know, you saw that, you know, he was so corrupt to the point where, you know, he allowed one of his. And spoiler alert for anybody who's listening who haven't seen it, you know.
Oh, I know they'll be all right. All right, go ahead.
but one of his cameraman, remember his cameraman, he allowed him to get killed because of whatever the reason was, their personal beef. But
and then videotaped it.
But the thing that you're speaking to is the underground, getting your news from those sources, because one of the things you saw is the agenda that the news company had to promote a story with a certain spin on it. They didn't want to, you know, have this couple to be seen that they were doing something illegal, and that's why they got caught. They got caught up in a mob hit. They wanted it to appear that some young black people had come from one part of the of California, of LA, wherever they were, and came to the suburbs. So they spun it as, you know, urban crime naked into the suburbs, as opposed to this couple, this family, you know, and it's a scary thing, but people need to understand that is very, very real. There's certain things I can't talk about based on my position and what I've done for a living up to this point, but I can tell people right now that there is a spin. There is a filter. Before it gets to us, there are steps taken to say, okay, we're not going to say that. We're not going to do that. We're not going to present that. This is what we want the public to see and believe based on how we present it. And it's that's absolutely what it is. So
anyone,
news sources, be careful.
Yeah. Anybody that doesn't realize that, you're ignorant and you need to wise up. Like, it's just, and I say ignorance because I'm not saying stupid, because stupid is when you're just unable to get the wisdom. But, you know, ignorance is when you just don't have the wisdom. So if you don't know this, you are being ignorant to how these, you know, I mean, because it's all money. It's a money mill. You know what I mean?
It's all a money thing, right?
Built in an agenda, and people are so, a lot of people, I should say, are so blind to that. It's, oh yeah, if it was on the news, just go with it. And it's like, you know, they will find the exact pictures to portray, you know, victims or assailants.
Right.
Yes. And they will pull out, you know,
No, do you remember the and I remember I posted on Facebook a while back, and there was some violence going on, and they interviewed this little boy, and they asked the little boy, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I wanted to be a cop. Why do you want to get a cop? And he said, because I want to get a gun And he said, well, you know, he said, well, no, they said, what do you want?
And
he said,
They chopped it up.
And they chopped the part where he said he wanted to get a cop. He said he wanted to get a gun. And he said, well, why would you need a gun? And he said, because I need one. And then, and they kind of cut it off. But they just say, I need one in order to be a cop and do these other.
Yeah.
So he had aspirations that were pop. And they were taking it, spinning it like, see, the youth
trying to
of
make,
this community.
Trying to make another
right.
one of our little black boys look like some thug. Which,
like
yeah,
a lost cause. Exactly. Look like a lost cause. Right, right.
I saw that. I was like, you bastards.
Did you say,
for real.
Did you say you bastards?
I said you bastards, yes.
Right.
Because it was so endearing what he actually said, but if
mm-hmm.
you didn't take the time to actually find out what
right.
to know what this kid said and just went off of how they chopped up his little words, you would have thought,
right.
oh wow, here's another little hoodlum in the making. And
because
it's just, you know,
and basically what this kid was saying is, you know, he wanted to be a cop to protect his community, this and the third, and that's
exactly.
the interesting part. Because, you know, I've always made the point that at one point I remember when we had cops in our neighborhood, they came up through the neighborhoods, so they cared. So imagine if this little boy, you know, was an adult male making conscious decisions because he grew up on these streets too. He's more apt to not react violently, to understand, because he knows this kid that he's arresting. He knows the parents, the family. He knows what churches they go to. He knows what schools they are.
Mm-hmm.
He knows these things about his own community. He's not a transplant that's not attached to the community. But again, instead of that being the story, it spun an entirely different direction, and we think
that's the way they want. You know, they want to portray our black men and our young, you know, black men that are coming up. So yeah, I said bastards. So.
I know you did. You felt some kind of way, obviously.
I do feel some kind of way because I remember that
and
story.
We should.
And I think I said those bastards when I first saw
right.
it, like months ago. Like why would they do that to that poor little kid? Hopefully his mom or dad or whoever did not let him see that, because I just feel like that would have really broke
right.
his little spirit, because he's like, that's not what I said. You know what?
Right.
The writer in me, I always go into the backstory and how the story unfolds, like past what's actually presented. So I'm like seeing him like so disappointed that, you know, and then crying like, that's not what I said, and, you know, being, you know, just hurt by that. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a question, and this is kind of stemming from what, you know, what we're going into, or not what we're going into, but what we're talking about right now. I've heard a lot of people mention, you know, how they didn't believe that things can be hid. And, you know, with everything that's going on with these hackers, how they're hacking into things and exposing things, people are asking questions like, well, with people being able to get information, how can anything get past us? Like, are we now at a stage where we're going to know everything we want to know? And so right now you have people that tend to not believe that there are things that they don't know. Like, we're always going to find out now. And,
no, I don't believe that. There's levels to
right,
this,
right.
you know?
There's levels to it. Now, and you know this, you know, being a military brat or whatever, and I know this being in, and a lot of people know this.
I was married to
a
military man, remember?
Right,
Marines and Navy.
Right. Right, so you know, and the one thing that I've always said to people when they say, well, there's no way that things can be hidden, and I like to give people just a little bit of insight. I can't tell you certain things, you know, but there are clearance levels, right?
Right.
And these clearance levels, like there's levels. There's not just one. There's like 4, 5 to 6 clearance levels.
Yeah.
So the president of the United States has a level, and then there's somebody – below him, and there are actually people above him. So what
yeah.
people have to understand is when they assume that when you find something out that you're getting it all, or when you find something out that now you're getting everything, you're not. Like
no.
And so what I question and what I like to ask people is, do you think people are ready for truth? Because there are truths that I don't think society can quite accept because it's just too much. I mean, you know,
you sound like a military man right now.
Let me tell you why. Because I've seen the reaction. I've thrown stuff out there, right? And I've seen people react to it, like almost anarchy. Society,
yeah.
I promise you, if certain things were known and exposed, we wouldn't have the peace that we have. There's no way, because people's
reaction.
No,
I believe that.
And that's why.
Yeah, and people
don't
want, a lot of times people just, you know, there's a lot of sensitive souls in the world, and a lot of people, you know, like you said, it's not only that it would cause panic and just destruction within the core of humanity. It's you know, people just don't want to hear the bad stuff. That's
right.
Just like in general. Nobody wants the bad stuff. It's kind of like, you know, even if they know it's something lingering,
they don't
want
to hear it.
Yeah, don't tell me.
I had some friends of mine.
Give me thought I'm going to address a little later, but go ahead.
Hold on. I'm going to give you one. And I told my friends this, or some associates of mine. We were playing basketball a few years ago. And, you know, when we play basketball, you know, you sit down, you have these intermissions in between your runs. And, we're all guys and we're talking, and, you know, they're talking about infidelity. And they were like, man, I said, would y'all want to know? And everybody's like, yeah. And I said, bro, I don't want to know. And they were like, why? And I said, listen, because my peace and my sanity based on that ignorance is something that I'm comfortable with. I said, now, if she's going to walk, now, listen, if she's leaving me, you can tell me going out the door. But don't tell me on the way to bed. You know. So I was like, and I said that to say that, you know, it's certain things that I don't know or I don't believe that I might be able to handle. So I'm like, hey man, I don't know if I want to know that, because I'm living in my little peaceful bubble. And then when you just come destroy my bubble, I'm outside on the grill Sunday morning, getting ready to get the food ready for the game, and then she has a crisis of conscience, and my day is ruined, my week, my month, my life, you know.
You know what the problem is with people who like to live in bubbles of dishonesty? You know the biggest problem with people like that is that they operate in that bubble of dishonesty with other people, you know, that they have relationships with. And I think that because we think a certain way, we have this, you know, we have this thing that we feel or believe that other people are thinking the same way that we are, because we have
Yeah,
but you know, but people who operate in those lines, you know, because if you like to live under the guise of something that is dishonest, I just feel like you operate in that because you believe that, okay, this person can't take it, or this person, you know, if I tell them the truth, they're not going to be able to deal with it.
I can admit that. Listen, I can admit that I believe in 90%, not 100. I'm not giving 100% truth, 90%. I don't believe she can handle 90.
Do you really give 90? I think you're probably lower than that.
Maybe. Not a lot lower. That's terrible. What's wrong with you? That's terrible.
Manipulative charm is very dishonest as well, and it comes from the same evil. I think people like to give dishonesty these levels to make themselves feel better, but
it doesn't make me feel better. It just makes me. It's like 90%. I don't believe emotional beings. Like I said, I don't believe emotional beings are capable of 100% truth.
About that, but you know, that's what you believe. That's what you believe. But unless you are the creator of every individual, you cannot speak for everyone. You can only speak for yourself and what you experience. But every individual is different. Life paths, Manuel, my dear, have a way of evoking great change and great acceptance in some people. Other, you know, a lot of people that you deal with haven't really gone through anything in life, and so they may still be in those bubbles. But there are people who get to a certain place in their life because they've gone through the hells of life that truly appreciate that honesty at whatever cost. Just be honest. Allow the person give them that respect to be honest with them so that they can make a decision on how they want to proceed.
This is what I will say, and this goes to your point. And I've always said this, and I know some men, they might be mad at me, but it is what it is. I'm pretty sure you saw Baby Boy, and you remember when Baby Boy, when he says, I tell these hoes out here the truth because I don't care.
Somebody said, tell them again, girl.
Oh, whatever. Of course, it's a girl that said, tell them again, girl. It ain't no dude that said, tell them again, girl. There's no man that's gonna say that. But anyway, hold on. Let me give you this because this is gonna go back to what you're saying. Remember the Baby Boy moment where he says. I tell these hoes out here the truth because I don't care about them, but I tell you, I lie to you because I care about your feelings. Now, there is some truth to that. But I'm can I finish? Give me a moment. Give me a moment. Really? Really? I can't finish my statement? I can't finish my statement. Can I finish my statement?
Yes, but that was a perfect boom moment.
No.
Go ahead. Finish what you said.
So there's that part of it. There's the part where the guy says, you know, I do this to spare you. And I believe that's a bit of truth to that. But the bigger issue is as the man, as the liar, as the one who doesn't want to present the truth to the one he claims to care about, it's the reaction that they fear that they don't want to deal with, which is really why they lie. So lying is more of a selfish than a giving. Even though they try to pass it off as I'm doing this for you, in turn, it's more of a selfish, I'm kind of saving and preserving myself from dealing with this reaction that I might not like. So I'm not going to tell you that the chick at work, I've been kicking it with her, dealing with her, because if I tell you that, I'm going to either get my ass whooped or you're going to leave. He doesn't want to deal with that, so he's going to lie to seem as if he's preserving those feelings, which he might want to preserve those feelings a little bit, but he don't want that ass whooping at the end of that statement. You know, so that's more so what it is. It's not that people can't handle the truth. It's that we don't want to handle the reaction to people receiving that truth. That's what I truly believe it is.
Okay, well, I agree with most of that. I agree mostly with the part that
I know you don't agree with the first part. You don't agree with the first part.
No. I knew the line that you the boo was for the line. The boo wasn't.
Oh, right.
I knew you had already set up the line. I knew where you were going. Because that line was just, you know, that's the most retarded thing. It really is very asinine. And you know what's unfortunate is that, you know, there are people who actually think like that. They think, oh, okay, I care about you, so therefore I'm going to lie to you. But what you're emotionally handicapping a person by, you know, pulling them along under the guise that it's something that it's not. And I'll never subscribe to that. I think that that's just something that's just ridiculous. And you just,
Wait, hold on. Pause. Time out.
Mm-hmm. Did you say
No, I said hold on, pause, time out for a moment. I'm just going to ask a question.
Okay.
Because we've all done that. And now there's levels to it. Maybe we haven't done any relationships with significant others. However, we have these things called children, things. I love to call them things. What about Santa Claus? You know, good and well, Santa Claus don't exist.
Well, see, you're talking to the wrong person like that. My son never grew up with that belief. We were born and raised in the church. The lesson is that individuals are different. You have to go by the individual. So that particular, my son was never taught Santa Claus. And when he went to a Christian school for a large part, so did I. So, it was never that type of, we didn't get down like that. He was taught the true meaning of why we celebrate the holidays. So next one? Give me another one.
No. But I'm talking about the masses. I'm speaking about the masses, not you. The masses,
you
have people who are, right. It's like, okay, a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. But we pick and choose when a lie is okay and when it's not. And that's okay. That's why I say 90% truth, depending on how we want to spin it and where we want to present it, because it just really depends. It's one of those things. I don't believe humans are capable of accepting 100% truth. I just don't believe it. Yeah, I might be wrong, and I'm probably wrong. I'm usually wrong, but, hey.
I think that statement should be, you're not capable of telling the truth 100% of the time, but you're putting it on society.
Don't want to. No. Not capable. I don't want to. 100%, I'll give you 90.
Well, okay. Anyway, moving right along, now that we're clear on your percentages, even though I think you're still off by about 30. Probably 30. Take 30 more off of there. So the thing is that earlier in the week, I saw this story about Tiamari Hardrick, however you say her name. She's the sister of Tamara. They had the little show. What's the show that they had? What are these chicks? I can't think of it. Somebody help me.
I remember what it was. I don't know the name of it, but I remember the twin sisters.
That sounds right. Anyway, so they, so you know who they are, and they've grown up, largely. So anyway, here I'm going to read this to you. I saw this posted somewhere else, and I posted it in on our open forum page.
I saw it too. Yeah, I saw it. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Anyway, I've been in those debates over for a little while, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, get ready for another one. So I posted this. This got like over 150 likes, and I mean, people have been like sharing it from the page. I keep getting notifications. I mean, it's like 40 plus people. I mean, people are just saving this and liking it. So I was like 150. I was like, let me see what, let me read this again and see, what people are, agreeing with. And so here's the story. Tiamari Hardrick met her husband, Corey, after his acting and his, I don't know who wrote this because that's not even right, but I'm going to read it how it's typed. After his acting in his first film, she and her sister drove by while he was sitting at a bus stop. She offered him a ride home, and he shared his dreams with her. He was broke, his home was unfurnished, and he worked as a security guard. But he wanted to be and believed in becoming a working actor. Tia believed in his dream and pushed him. They've been together for 15 years. Now tell me about dating potential. Seeing something in someone that forces you to believe, makes you push them so they do not fail. Tell me about breathing life into your partner, about supporting their dreams, about coming up as a couple. So, yeah. So, basically, I want to read some of the comments. We got one. Rhonda said, that's how it should be. I pushed my ex to achieve his dream, but you can't push someone who doesn't believe in themselves. Okay. I agree. And then we got one from Thomas. He said, Liguel, I was talking to a group of young people about this about this generation's misunderstandings of and a lost application of two vital life concepts, delayed gratification and personal responsibility, and how they apply to goal setting and professional development / achievement. It hit me with a ton of bricks when one young lady said she would never date a trash man, a guy who works for the city sanitation department. Okay. Our 21st century fixation on status and superficial gain has warped our perception and diminished our ability to appropriately assess value and worth. No one wants to build, only inhabit. A gainfully employed man is not viewed as a potential mate, but rather as something beneath acceptable. Many men and women can achieve so much more if we all endeavored to value more the core principles of life and gain greater importance to the essential characteristics of simply being a good person. And I'll stop right there. I'm going to read a couple more, but I'll stop right there because that was a long one. But he said a mouthful. What are your thoughts on that? Because they got my thoughts, but I'm going to let you say your thoughts.
Okay. And basically everything he said, I absolutely agree with. We do have a skewed perspective on, and I want to say we as a society, not me per se, but we do have this a skewed perspective on what we should accept in a partner or a potential partner as far as where they are in life status, what are they driving, where are they living, you know, all that stuff. We're very superficial. But sometimes I think that gets mixed up, and this is what I mean. You might have a woman or a man who they won't necessarily tolerate the relaxed state of mind that they come across. So I can give you the scenario, and living in Atlanta, you know, it's a lot of this. You know, I remember when I was younger, everybody wanted to be a rapper. Everybody was trying to produce, you know, everybody's in music, and that's the young, you know, when you're younger, you aspire for those things. But there comes a point, like he said in his statement, where there's some responsibility along with all of your dreams. So you can't be a person with this responsibility. You got children, you got to take care of yourself, but you're talking about this mixtape and this studio time, this, that, and the third. That's all well and good. You can have that. That can be your dream, and you're pushing towards that. But if you're pushing towards that and nothing else seems to be gaining any traction, so, yeah, you're working on this album. You're talking about being a performer, an actor, or a rapper, or whatever, but you got two children with some woman sitting somewhere, and those children aren't eating. You know, you're just laying on your homeboy's couch, but you're getting up to go to the studio, but you're not making sure your children are taken care of. And then there's a woman who's supposed to be able to come along while this dude says, well, I'm working on my mixtape and da-da-da, and it's kind of hard right now. Bro, I'm sorry. Your story doesn't fly. Take care of your responsibilities along with pursuing your dreams, which means you might only sleep 4 hours every 24. That's just the way it is, because you can't sacrifice your responsibilities in order to pursue your dreams. It's not fair to those that you're responsible to. So that's the issue that women are having when they have these guys that have all these dreams that seem like, okay, this is the best thing ever, but they're not holding it down when it comes to the things that are at the moment that need to be taken care of. That's unacceptable.
Right. I think that, and I agree, I think it's, of course, a balance. You know, everything in life has to be balanced. And what stood out is that, you know, for their particular story, although he was, you know, working towards his dream, he still had a job, you know. He was still, he may not have, you know, he wasn't making a big paycheck, but he was grinding. He was not,
right.
He was not lazy. And that's the misconception that people, I think some people have with, you know, people who are dreamers in the sense that they're pursuing, you know, what their dream and their passion is not, you know, you can't be lazy in that. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of bravery and courage to pursue your dream, and, you know, at the same time, you do have to, you know, take care of your responsibilities. Like, for me, I was, a teen mom, and when I found out that I was pregnant, I had, you know, it just overwhelming, you know, knowing inside of me that, okay, I have to pursue my dreams because this is not just for me, it's for my son. And I grind, you know, I mean, I hit it like crazy. When I started, I didn't have any connections in the music industry. I didn't know anybody. I just got out there and I started hustling. And I, you know, a lot of things that I was able to do came from me just getting out there and doing it, believing in myself. I had my son with me, you know, when I signed to different management and I had to go sing at, you know, different shows. It was, you know, everything that I did was contingent upon, you know, I have to have my son there, you know.
Right. I remember you saying that with us last week.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
like, and that's what I mean. You're like, hey, I can't do it if he can't be.
Exactly.
You know, the level of respect that comes with that is just tremendous. Like, there's nobody on this planet that's going to say, well, unfortunately, we can't. That the level of respect that comes with that, and I think that's what a lot of people deal with when they're considering helping people that are chasing those dreams.
And there were people that, you know, the music industry is grimy, so, and we've had these talks, and I was in it, so I can say that. I don't need nobody, don't be in my inbox because you don't know me like that. You better find out. If you know me, you know. I wasn't one of those, you know, I wasn't on it, you know, on the surface. I was in it, and, you know, I know how grimy it can be. And I didn't get some things because of that, you know, but that was a sacrifice that I was willing to, you know, to make. You know, I wasn't going to nothing was going to, you know, come between me being a mom first to my kid. So that was, you know, he was right there in the studios with me. When I did the Above the Rim soundtrack, he was right there chilling. He's like bopping his head, like, okay. Even though that song,
right,
you know, he didn't even hear that.
So that's a valid point. So imagine if you do have somebody that you're dating, you're seeing, you know, that's your significant other, or that's your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your woman, your fiance, or whatever, and, you know, y'all are holding it down together. It's almost like the dream is the dream of everybody at that moment. So, you know, I have no issue with women or men supporting their significant other in pursuit of that dream as long as the responsibilities are being taken care of. Because like you just said, you're grinding. You know, nobody's taking advantage. And I was talking to this guy at work. He's about 65 years old, and he said he was very disappointed in one of his sons because he actually heard his son tell his other son that it was okay to get with a woman, not be, and he wasn't working, but his older son told his younger son, go ahead and get that money, referring to the woman that was basically going to take care of this dude while he did much of nothing. His older son told his younger son, hey, man, go ahead and get that money. Like hustling her was the hustle. And so he said, he told his son, he was like, who raised you? Like whose last name are y'all carrying? This is not, what is in this day and age where it's okay for a man to be a dependent. And not saying that you're supposed to depend on each other, but a dependent in the terms of you're not doing nothing else. You're just letting this person carry you. Absolutely not. Unacceptable.
Well, a lot of, you know, that's an epidemic. A lot of men, but, it, you know, I think it's age as well. You know, you have a lot of young guys that are, you know, have given into that. And you know, you have a lot of ignorant women who accept it, so... You know, man,
right.
What are you going to do? But, you know, I think, you know, one of the other points I want to make is that a lot of people have, you know, these lists and these. We actually touched on this before, like, you know, early on when we first started the show. It wasn't a topic that the entire hour was given to, but it came up in a conversation because I specifically remember this. And, you know, I think that it does have a lot to do. You know, some people say, well, if I'm at a certain place in my life and I'm at a certain age, you know, older women, older men, they don't feel like, you know, they want to deal with someone who's not, you know, of equal standing financially and so forth. You know, and I get that. And then you have people who just, you know, their list, you know, of expectations in these lists are just, you know, it's ridiculous. I see a lot of women... using this term, and it's so funny because I was talking to somebody and this term was used, and I just like went in because it's like, it's the most asinine, retarded thing because I didn't even know what it meant. This unicorn thing, like, oh, I'm a unicorn. I'm like, what is that?
Oh,
like, I know what the.
Oh, my
gosh. You know, I know what the. And I'm sorry, I have to touch on this because I keep seeing it, and you know me, I'm going to say it because I'm like, okay, you know, I study mythology. I know what the mythical creature unicorn is. I'm trying to, like, what does that mean? And I finally, you know, I got it, and I'm just like, oh. You know, because most of the time I see it, it's like, it's like a reference to the vagina or something, and I just want to like shake these women like you don't if using this terminology, you know, for the meaning that they're using it as, you know you're not a unicorn because you think you have good sex. You're a unicorn if you know your mind, if you're driven, if you have a purpose.
Everything,
like, you know,
right, right.
Yeah, you know, you gotta have a purpose, and you know I just, crazy stuff that we embrace, these ideologies that have people in these places of just being stagnant, and I'm just like, what's the mark that you're leaving? Like, if you're gone tomorrow, what mark are you leaving on this earth? And maybe you're not about making a change, and you're not about leaving, you know, your footprint. But I mean, you should be. You know, you should be. It should be something deeper and bigger in you. And I was just like, yeah, don't tell me you're. First of all, I don't even want to know. Like. It's just like stupid. Like, that's just dumb to me. Like you're mystical. Like, you're so great. There's not that many of you. It's like, that's what you're trying to say, because that's BS as well. Like, get
right,
you know.
Right.
Like, it's just like, come on. I don't know where we. It's just conceited, and it just made me. You know, with her in particular, it was just like, if you put yourself, you know, like, you're just so different, and you just have all of this stuff that no other woman has, and but you're asking, so why are you single? I don't know. It just bears to, you know, to question that mentality. Like, I don't know. That's just off to me. Look at my inbox popping. Let me see. But yeah, so I didn't know what that was at first. The very first time I heard that terminology, I was like, what the hell? Like,
You know what the thing is, and you know what, and you've even said that you know, you don't like the term, you know, or being referred to as perfect, or when people refer to somebody as the, and I've joked about it because it is such a joke. Like, I've made the joke, I'm perfect, because it's such a joke. Like, when you listen,
it is
like
a joke, but
like,
people believe that about themselves.
People should actually say it out loud every now and then, so they can actually hear it, so they can realize how much of a joke it is. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, we're just flawed. But for somebody to assume, for whatever reason, that, oh, I'm perfect for anybody in anything. Like,
yeah.
Wait, what? Like, are you serious?
Like a part of my movement. Because I do have a movement. Is this a natural thing? Is this the way
your
my
movement,
brain,
right.
It is. It really is. Like, I don't know. I just, you know, because I work with women, and I, you know, I talk to them. I, you know, doing conferences and speaking to women. I try to get women as far away from that type of mindset as possible. Like, it's not, there's no benefit of describing yourself in that type of way, and like actually believing it, you know, to think that, you know, because we're so much more alike than we are different. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this story really quickly, because I'm not in contact with this particular person anymore, and I won't ever say her name. But we were all mutual friends, actually good friends, one of my close friends for almost like 15 years or so. And she would always just brag, like, she would always be like, yeah, you know, these guys, they just, you know, they can't get enough of me. And we're like, you know, I'm ministering at that time, like, in the church. And so she would, like, come and want to have these conversations, and we would, like, go and have dinner, and these conversations would always come up, and it would seem like it would always turn into that, because she was single, you know. And so I'm like, you know, if they keep coming back, and if it's all great, like, why are you single? Like, You know, why aren't you, you know, oh, they're, you know, they're no good, they're this and that. And I'm thinking, well, if you're presenting quality, you know, stuff, you should be, you know, attracting quality, you know. So it's kind of like embarrassing question how much quality is actually in what you're presenting. And we kind of, you know, kind of bring this full circle to what we was tapping into on last Sunday when I said, if, you know, if you're not attracting quality, if the majority of the time you're not getting quality, you're not putting out quality. You're not, you know, it's what you put out. So I just, you know, and I just try to say, don't put your worth in your vagina. Like, you know how many vaginas are out there? Like,
right.
I don't care. And I'm not saying I'm good. I'm glad if it's good and it's great, that's good. But don't put your worth, don't put your staple of, you know, don't put your claim to fame on your vagina, like that's, or your penis for that matter, like that's retarded. So that's my take on it, and I ain't changing it. So
you're absolutely 100% right on that. If that is, listen, I don't know if I've ever been, I can't think of ever dealing with a woman or on any level who made it seem as if their sex was so spectacular to the point where it would keep somebody. I don't think I've ever dealt with that personally. Because I couldn't imagine a person that would think so low of themselves to think that would be enough to keep a person. Like you said, there's a lot of that out there anyway. And no matter how good you are, nobody of worth is going to sacrifice their worth for something that's so trivial. I mean, yeah, you know, we all want those great, nobody's going to sacrifice everything for that to be the best thing that you have to offer. Another thing, and so. It was funny because what you were mentioning the last time we were on the show was, you know, when women are always getting approached with that whole sexual advance. I think one of the things that, and I didn't make this point then, but what I saw is, you know, everything now has changed so much. And, like, there's this whole online dating scene that is really, you know, I mean, and it's good, you know, for the working parent, for the busy body, you know, for the person that's going to, but there's so much room for error in it. And so a friend of mine, you know, she you know, she's been married for most of her life, you know, and she was saying, and I said, well, go ahead and try the online dating thing, da da da. And she's like, man, I don't know. She actually does not like dating. That's number one. She's like, oh my God, I don't like it, because she's a relationship person, so the dating game just turns her off all the way. So she went ahead and tried it, and you know, she, you know, had a relatively decent experience. But the one thing that she did say, she was like, these guys, she was like, the majority of them wanting just sex. So then I asked her, I said, so what does your profile say? What do your pictures look like? You know, what are you putting out there? And so her profile pictures are very modest. But what she did not have, which I think women have to have, is you have to have a bullshit filter. You have to have something set up that automatically, because men will read, we'll see the filter, and we'll avoid it, you know. So I was like, listen, on your profile, you need to say what you want, what you're not willing to tolerate, so those busters will move on. That's the old term, busters.
So, right.
So because when they see it, when they see, okay, I can't play this
are
game,
people
I can't play
still
this
saying,
game.
Are people still saying buster in 2015?
No, I just threw that out there because I knew you would pick it up. I knew you would pick that up. But
buster, really?
Buster, right. That was one of my favorite ones.
You
I'm
just
like,
went,
you know,
like, how many years
way back?
Did
oh,
you
I went, I went
that one
way,
out.
I went way back. But you'll see it, like, for real. Like, I told her, I said, unfortunately, she was like, do I have to do that? I was like, you do. I'm like, you have to, on your profile, state, hey, I'm not looking for this. If you're into this, I'm not into it. I'm like, you have to have a filter to block you from the dudes that are coming. She said one dude came on there. He was a sugar daddy looking for a sugar mama. Another dude was on there looking for he was a domination dude, and he just wanted her to be a. And none of them were talking about actual relationship stuff. She was like, and the few who were, she was like, they were so few. She was like, the substance was so few, and the bull crap was so overwhelming. And I was like, man, you got to filter that stuff out. So it is out there. Even as modest and laid back as she was, that's another thing women have to, I'm not telling y'all to run around with the spank face, but
run around with the wet face? The who face?
The stank face. You know, when y'all look
the
a little
face.
Like, yeah, when y'all look like y'all unapproachable, I'm not telling women to be that way, but man, look, it might save y'all from some bullshit if y'all look a little bit less, I mean, it sounds counterproductive, but I'm just saying, man, it's some dudes out there. They just, if they think, they'll just try you. They'll just try anything. So it was interesting to see that. And that's just online. That's just online. Not in person, nothing else. Just online.
Yeah, well, online can be tricky as far as the dating, you know, those dating websites. But in your, you know, in life in general, I don't know. I just,
different.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to pull up this comment and see if she wants to chime in here. I got this comment. Let me see. It's like not letting me. Hold on a second, because I got to log out. I got this comment, and at first I didn't read it all the way because it was after the show on last Sunday.
Wait, hold on. I gotta laugh. One of our mutual friends said, "Busters." He said, "You're definitely showing your age." And I said, "Wow." I said, "I gotta do it for the old heads every now and then. We gotta throw some
that only we identify." You pulled that way out. I was like, "Wait, Buster? What's that? Where the Busters at?" that feels like the 90s. I don't even feel like
that is.
That even,
oh, it's, that's
it is 90s. The 90s, right? That's what I thought. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
Busters?
Yeah.
They still making them Busters? Did you
get a little excited? You got a little excited because you thought that was still in. You're like, oh shoot, I can get
I
down
get
with
excited.
That. That's what I know.
Nah. I had to make sure that's what you said before I was like, don't clown you. No, I did not. Well, I'm looking for this message. You guys are supposed to give some hot seat questions for Manu. Yeah, that's the way it goes, Buster. Wait, I don't want to call you a Buster. Wait, what are the Busters was just like the lames, right? Like,
anybody can be a Buster. Like, if you're doing some lame shit, you're doing some Buster shit. So I've had my Buster moments in life, you know what I'm saying? If you're doing something lame, something whack, that's you being a Buster.
I don't know why I just thought of this, but my friend, oh my gosh, and I love him. Like we were really, 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 really close when we were like, you know, younger, like teenage on up. And we recently, it's been like a minute, but we found each other on Facebook. I hadn't heard, you know, hadn't seen him or anything for years. And he used to he used to crack me up because he would make up these terms. He would, like, just make up terminology, like, right on the spot. And it was like he was kind of like a hood dude, you know, just no nonsense. And he used to say, and I know this is so random, but, you know, I get random. But, like, if somebody's breath stank, he would be like, dang, your breath is hum lumid. It was, like, so funny to me because
hum lumid.
Yeah, it was like, sorry. It was just like, that was the funniest thing to me. That was like way back in like the 90s. So I don't know. Ron, what's up?
Hold on. I don't want you to say way back in the 90s no more, because then, like, I don't think the 90s is that far back. I mean, I'm just saying, don't say way back in the 90s. Just say back in the 90s, because that makes me.
Manuel,
yeah, make
that's.
Me,
yeah, I'm sorry, it is.
don't say way back in the 90s. Just say the 90s. It is way back.
It's way back.
Damn, I'm trying to hold on. I'm trying to hold on to it. I won't let it go.
Let it go. I'm going to help you, okay? Just breathe in, breathe out, let it go. Okay, 90.
I don't know if I can let it go.
Let it go. Let it go like you did. Let it go and let Buster go. Let the Buster go, too. Don't ever use that word again. That's one word that does not need to come back. We don't need that back in rotation. So
I was joking years ago when I said if the Shag ever came back, that I would definitely rock that. But now living in Dallas, I see these dudes rocking the Shag, and I'm scratching my head like, wait a minute, why is that back? Like,
that's
how?
Hot. No, I'm just kidding.
Black dudes, listen. There's two things that I always said should never come back: the Shag and the mullet. The Shag is back. The mullet is right around the corner. It's right around the corner.
The Shag is the black man's equivalent to the mullet, right?
Kind of. Right. You got that big old poof in the back, like right above the neck area, is a big old poof. And some dudes will actually get the Shag permed or curled, and the rest of your hair is just like normal, but you just got this poof, this little fro or this curl or this length in the back. Oh, man, it's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
If you're a man and you can rock a Shag, either you're really disconnected or you're overwhelmingly confident. It's somewhere in between the two.
I don't know. That's not – yeah. You know what? You should try that, though.
I think
if anybody could bring that back and make it hot.
You're trying to set me up to get clowned. That's what it is. You set me up.
No, listen. I think that if anybody could make that hot, my vote is for you. I think you should do it. Bring that back. Like just be like, bloop, I'm here, y'all. Get your perm in the back.
perm, grow a Shag and then perm it. That's what you're saying I should do.
Okay, Ghost. Hi, Ghost Town. He said, I lived in Chattanooga, Redneck Central. The mullet never left. You know what?
I believe you. Right.
I want you and Ghost to bring the Shag back. Both of you guys have enough of that. You guys have enough of that chutzpah to
We can pull it off.
I think you could. And I would like to see you with the Shag and in that like that floss onesie thing that we saw the guy in Vegas wearing. The little.
Listen.
Wait a minute, let me set this up real quick. Okay. We had a meet and greet and we were in Vegas, so me and Manuel, what were we doing? We were trying to find a liquor store. Sorry, Mom.
Right.
It was for other people. It wasn't for me, Mom. So we just needed a store. So here we are walking the strip, just minding our business. And we walk around the corner, and this little Asian guy is wearing this, what do they call it? It kind of looks like kind of like a G-string, but pulled all the way up to the shoulders, like just cupping his little Asian stuff down there. And
his little Asian stuff.
Yes.
Did you just say his little Asian stuff?
I did. And what was so crazy is that he was dancing. He was like, was he breakdancing?
He was
like,
he was grinding the air, like he was on his back.
And he
was making love. And somebody was on top of him. We just couldn't see that somebody. So whoever that person was, they were invisible. There was an invisible person top of this dude. And listen, he was giving the invisible person the business. He was wearing that invisible person out. That's what he was doing. He was getting it in. neither one of us had a phone. If we could have recorded that, and that would have been the best thing ever.
And that was the only time that we had left the phone. Like, I was like, I never leave my phone. And I wish that I could have. He said the invisible person was there. Whatever invisible person that he was making love to, they was getting the serious
they
work.
Were
and that,
yeah, yeah, he was putting in his work, right.
It was so bad, but it was like one of those things that you just didn't want to look away. Like, I just wanted to stand and watch him for a couple of moments because it was, I don't know, it was crazy. Okay, so to my shag challenge, Ghost Town said, I'll rock it with some black leather pants.
He is stupid.
He said, a hoop, just one. One hoop earring.
One hoop earring, right.
With the dangly cross on the left ear. Okay, is it banana hammock? Okay, is that what it's called? A banana hammock with the guy
right,
hat
right,
on?
Right. Yeah, right, that's what that is.
I would like to see both of you guys in that.
See, you know what? It's only room for one man to do that at a time. Two men can't do that at the same time, so that's way too confusing.
Well, you can just do turns. One do it. See, I'm very flexible. One do it, and one, like, that glows in the dark, like, you know.
I feel like the guy,
the little Asian guy in Vegas, I feel like what he had on would glow in the dark. It just wasn't dark at that time.
Let me explain. See, for the listeners, y'all don't realize what is happening right now. This is the madam that just, the madam is in. It's a little late on the East Coast. It's, you know, it's 9 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock, it's getting late. The madam starts to manage the debauchery. The madam starts to try to, like,
I can't believe you're saying that.
The madam starts to try to, she starts to try to tell, I think this would be nice. I think this is a good idea. And somehow she's gonna be sitting there collecting and be the one that sits back. She's trying to put on the show. The director, and it shows up every single time because the minute an idea floats, your wheels start turning. Yeah, the wheels start turning. You're like, I can see this. Let me get you
it's
in the corner.
It's hard to turn off the director in me because that is true. But it was for my own pleasure though, just for the record.
Oh, so there's you in a room with two dudes.
However you want to play that.
Listen, let me tell you. Me and Ghost, you know, me and Brother Ghost, I don't think we try to share the same space. I
know that you're not, and I totally respect that. So I do. No. I totally respect that. You know, that's cool, but see, that doesn't change, you know, that doesn't change the desire behind the request.
Right. Okay, I did that.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. So I'm just saying I would, you know, I think that would be someone, I get, what is her name? Rolanda said that she would like to see that also. Okay,
oh my God.
See? Thank you. I don't know who, Rolanda, I hope I'm saying your name right. I'm a little out of it right now. We've gone over time. We're going to, hopefully you have a question for Manuel. I want to take him, let him get off before he gets some hot seat questions. But she said she would like to see, she would like to see that as well. Thank you, Rolanda, for having my back on that. I don't know if you, they're both gorgeous and, and then Freddie sent me a picture of the shag. Thank you. I'm going to post this in the group because he sent me a picture of what the shag looks like. That's hot. I think you can pull that off.
What? What is wrong with you? How are you trying to set me up?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Manuel, Rolanda said, would you consider wearing that for Miguel? And I don't know.
Is that my
hot seat
question?
I love you for tuning in because I don't know who you are, but thank you. I think you're funny.
Is that my hot seat question? That's my hot seat question.
Is Rolanda, I'm assuming, is this a hot, she said, yes, it can be. Yes, it
okay.
can be.
God damn. So that means I got to answer honestly.
Wait a minute. I like her. She said, Liguel is a gorgeous woman. How could you not? Wait, type that again. She said, Liguel is a gorgeous woman. How could you not give in? I think that's what she meant to say. Thank you. I like her.
Add me on this friends list. right. So her question is, would I consider wearing that ridiculous banana hammocky shoulder strappy thingy for Liguel?
She's gonna be mean.
I would consider it. Absolutely.
That is okay. Thank you. Wait a minute. Ghost said, whoever said she wants to see that, tell her that she is officially out of my will. Forget about all the 8-track tapes and the rotary cell phone. You are a nut. Rolanda, I'm just gonna put this because you're not on my friends list, so you're just in our open forum page. But I think you're very cool for that question. Add me on Facebook, and I can show you a better picture of both Manuel and Ghost Town, so that you can understand even more so why that would be awesome. Thank you. Okay, so we have a couple more minutes. So if you guys have any more questions, a good one. I think Rolanda is going to knock it out the park. I hope she gets you a good question.
That was terrible.
Why? What is the problem? That's a beautiful thing. Like, because it was, you know, don't you feel like, I mean, it's so freeing. And the little Asian guy, he looked so free.
He was high. He was on something. He was definitely on something.
He was. You know what? But what would be more disturbing is if he wasn't on something.
Right. Let me tell you a recent meme that I read. It said, "What if oxygen is a drug that causes us to see the world as we see it now? And what if whenever we took psychotropic drugs, that caused us to see the world as it really is?" Now, I thought about it, man.
That's kind of deep.
That's a little much, right? Right, that's a little much.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
and
oh,
I don't
man.
Need coffee. I like the natural high.
Did you see when somebody said one time, it's in the movie Ex Machina, and the dude is, he's drunk. And he says, man, everything is spinning. And then the guy says, that's because you're drunk. He said, no, that's relativity. He said, because everything is always spinning. It's just that when you're drunk, you can see it better. Because everything is always, the world is spinning, the moon is spinning, everything is always rotating, but you're not aware of it because.
Look at Manuel ending the show with being all deep. Wait, we got a question, and I could answer this question. Our good friend, yes, she's. She said, have you and Liguel.
Why does it have to start off like that?
No. I could just answer this. I don't even have to read this question, right?
No, read it.
She said, have you and Liguel ever dated? You seem very. Oh, good Lord. She said, have you and Liguel ever dated? You seem very comfortable together. What does that mean exactly?
Okay, why do people keep saying that?
I don't understand. No more
really
questions.
Bad.
This is the last question.
Wait, 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 wait.
Wait a minute. I do want to say, Rolanda, no, thank you for your questions, and you're still my favorite listener for the night. So I love you. Thank you. Okay, so go ahead. You can
answer. Let me. I got a question. What constitutes dated?
What?
tell him I said define dated.
She's listening. She's on. She's listening either online or calling.
Yeah, oh.
She clearly is listening. Let me hold on.
Oops.
Okay. I'm going to. She said, LOL. You know exactly what dating is. LOL. You know exactly what dating is. Have you and Miguel ever been a couple?
A couple of what?
Wait, so like wait, that's like a different question though. A couple.
Right, like a couple of what? Yeah, we've been a couple. We're a couple right now. Right now, me and Miguel are a couple. We are a couple. We're a couple.
Okay, that's enough. We're just about out of time.
Now you want to run out and see the hot. See, I'm not the one to put on the hot seat. People got to be careful.
It's not even my hot seat. It's your hot seat. So I'm chilling.
But you're feeling the heat. You're feeling the heat from my hot seat.
I don't know if she. So is that your final answer? Did you answer her? Is that like?
Yeah, I said. Well, I'm like, yeah, we're a couple.
Oh,
cool. We're a couple.
She said. Oh my God! This is not. Wait, no.
What did she say?
Oh my gosh! Where are you people coming from? This is out of no. What is? Oh my! Wow. I don't even know what to say to that. Okay, so I'm sorry. Okay, so we're done. So you answered the question. Manuel, you did answer the question, and I'm not taking any more questions. But you didn't really Can I say your name? Let me see. I'm going to read this to you because I know you're going to get a kick out of it. So this is Nicole from where? Tell me where you're from. I'm like actually trying to find you people because I think this is a conspiracy. Nicole said, I don't think I should read that. Okay.
Read it.
I shouldn't. She said, if you can make a woman laugh and blush that way. How do you know that I'm blushing? I'm goofy, first of all.
We can hear it. We can hear the blush. We can hear the blush.
How do you? I don't understand, Nicole. How can you tell if I'm blushing or not? I laugh a lot, so.
Did you deny it? Because you didn't deny it. Because you didn't deny it. That's how they know. You just confirmed it. So go ahead.
She said, if you can make a woman laugh and blush like that, you definitely should. What? You definitely should try to date her. I don't think that's true. I don't know about that. I think you guys are seriously like out of control because we went overtime and now I think people are just gonna start saying whatever they think is funny. So, but I don't know. How do you? People always saying something about my laugh. I laugh a lot. Like, okay.
So were you blushing? Were you blushing? Can you? Were you blushing? Did I make you blush?
Oh my God! You know what? When I'm put on the spot,
I don't want to hear it. I don't care nothing about you being put on the spot. You can't ever complain about being put on the spot. That's what you do.
I don't. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wait, what is?
Yep.
I don't even know what. I don't even know what you're. Someone said you're so cute. Thank you. And Freddie, okay, I love me some Legit. I love you too, Freddie. Thank you. See, people are, they know that I'm just laughing and goofing around.
Uh-huh. But you still didn't answer the question. You didn't answer the question whether or not you were blushing. Did you blush?
You're on the hot seat. Those comments were directed to you.
But you are so slick. But I'm asking you, did you blush? I'm not asking you whose comments were directed where.
I don't know. I probably, like, I'm easy, yeah.
Did you get warm inside? Like, kind of warm inside? Did that happen?
Oh, my God. Okay, what? And then you have my ghost town is siding with you. I'm so disappointed. I don't understand what.
You're disappointed? Now you're disappointed.
That is. Okay, so I don't even know what just happened here because I like seriously just had the goofiest moment I think I've had on this show to date. And I just want to apologize because I don't know. Sometimes you just don't know what people are going to say. So, and I try to keep everything as, you know, you guys say it and I don't want you to think that if it's too uncomfortable that I won't, you know, say it on air. So, I will. I just so make sure you. I can't even finish talking. Make sure you have added us on Urban Conversation on Facebook on our open forum page, and you can also catch us on Blog Talk Radio. It's Urban Conversation Radio. Hopefully, you enjoyed this as much as. I know some of you did that are still hitting me up in my inbox, but there's no more questions.
Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy it?
Did I enjoy the show?
Yeah. Amongst other things, did you enjoy it?
Oh my gosh! It's so we're done with the show. I am so done. Oh, my gosh. So thank you for tuning in. Make sure you join the conversation with Urban Conversation next Sunday. Same time, same place. Thank you. Good night.